Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our co-sponsor today, Anderson Graves Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGraves.com. Our thanks as well to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road to Camden Avenue in Rock Hill, and to HighSpeedWeb.net that streams our signal 24/7, 365. Well, how well did your 401k do last year, huh? How well do you think it's going to do this year? How the heck does that thing called the stock market really even work? Well, we thought we'd bring that brain trust to the table today. Not only one Anderson, but two Andersons. Kendall and Justin Anderson from Anderson Griggs Portfolio Management in Rock Hill, and they are here today. Good afternoon or evening. Afternoon, I guess. Gentlemen, how are you?
Well, we're doing just great.
Yeah, good.
Good to be here. Thank you, sir.
Okay. So now, we've talked to you a number of times, Kendall.
Do you think
people know who you are yet?
I hope so. I hope they do.
All right.
Some do.
You have been in this business in Rock Hill for how long now?
Since 1982.
1982.
I've been in the business since 1979, so I've been around the block a few times there, Mr. Kimmel.
And true or false, in your business, like in most professions, experience is everything?
It's not everything, but it's a very large portion of it. You know, there are very few of us left in this business that have ever seen high inflation, high interest rates. We've seldom seen a bull market like we've been in for the last 10 years. You know, a few of us, you got to go all the way back to the 80s to get that one. I mean, experience helps.
Experience helps. All right. Would you like to introduce this young man over here?
Well, I think he can introduce himself. He tells me what to do every day. So,
this is Justin Anderson, who is the president of Anderson Griggs Investments.
Yes, sir. Fairly new president. I'm going on my 15th year here in Anderson Griggs Investments.
That's hard to believe. 15 years.
It's gone by quickly, hasn't it? I've been a familiar face for you for 15 years now. That's nice.
Longer than 15 years.
Prior
we can go back a long way before that.
And if I look back, I guess, 15 years ago, I was basically a bum. That's how I would describe myself. I was a service industry bum. One morning, I got a call from Dad, and he said, hey, I want to take you to breakfast and discuss a couple things with you. And that's where this whole journey started.
Uh-huh.
He was taking a big chance on me, I would say, right?
I had full faith and credit in you there.
Yes,
son.
He did.
Young man. Yes, sir.
I still think a big part of the decision was he was looking for a partner that even if he couldn't trust me, if I stole from him, it would stay in the family. And he will actually tell the story that way. So,
yes, sir. And I brought Libby in, too, a few years ago. It's been over 5 years now for my youngest daughter. Wow. part of the team. And I figured, well, better than my last few partners. Ain't that terrible? I shouldn't say that.
Which is, well, we won't. Somebody might say, what is the Griggs? So we'll just leave it alone.
No, we can do that. In fact, that's what started this back in 2007. You know, we had sold a large portion of our business that was not prudent here for Rock Hill, but it was more a nationwide type business. And Justin had been there a few years, and when I decided to make this change, I just asked him if he wanted to be part of this business long term. He said yes, and that put the ball in motion for me to buy out Mr. Griggs, spin off the residual portions of our business. So me and Justin actually started all over again January 1st, 2008.
And here you are.
Here we're still here.
Still talking to each other.
Well, yeah.
I wasn't quite smart enough to realize this, and Dad never exactly added that to my education. But at that time, I mean, it was a big risk. We were starting over, and right after we started over was when the market came tumbling down. So I never felt the risk, but it was very large. At the time.
And you feel it a lot more when your own money's involved.
That's correct.
You know, you do. And that's, I think, a test that a lot of people really don't understand about young advisors. Now, you can talk history, you can talk about market crashes, you can talk about 30% gains, but until your money's in the game and you actually feel the results of market declines and advances, you really don't understand the full gist of things. Well, Justin's been lucky enough to be in this business when the world fell apart and also the recovery, and that's a huge advancement over his competitors going forward.
And the other thing that I've heard you say time and time again is that you eat your own cooking. In other words, what you're recommending for your clients is the same stuff that you're doing.
We're gonna buy and own it ourselves, and there's a very real reason for that. You could theoretically say that's a conflict of interest, and we do explain that to every new client because of our ownership. You know, money is emotional in some respects, and if I have my own money invested along with them, then we pay that price, and they're trying to eliminate some of the emotional decisions that we have to make. Well, there's the other side of it, too. They know fully that we're going to be paying attention every single day to what's going on out there, and we can hopefully we'll continue to do that. And it's the same with both Justin and Libby, both. They're family members, and they have to abide by those rules. And own what our clients will own, too.
Interesting. And if it's one thing that I've learned from talking to you guys over the years is that you need a long-term strategy. This business of diving in and diving out on a daily basis is a quick way to commit suicide, I think. But you need to have a battle plan and how you're going to achieve it. So how you go about doing that? Well, Mr. President.
Just to what we were just discussing. So, you know, I was raised in the trial by fire in this business. I started when things were at their worst. That's when I first started talking to our clients, had to counsel them on what to do. But if you think about an individual investor at the same time, you have to gain that experience before you are going to actually succeed as an investor, as someone who is willing to put your money at risk. Understand that timing is everything and how much you pay for something is everything. That's what all your returns are based on. But if you don't go through it, if you turn tail and run at the first sign of something bad and never come back, you obviously will not be considered an investor who has succeeded and has earned something on that money. So you just got to keep coming back and keep that philosophy in mind and that outlook that, hey, think markets go up, markets go down. But if you invest for the long haul, you will be successful.
A lot of what you all do day in and day out is read.
Add an extra hour of reading in there. We'll be fine.
But it's part of your methodology for doing what you are doing. You are your own research outfit. Mm-hmm. You don't rely upon whatever is out there. You do all the cooking yourself.
Well, we have to. You know, there is you can outsource anything you choose to in this world. You can outsource to a computer. You can outsource to a bigger firm that has a department to analyze things. Our approach is a little different. We're more of a specialist. We have to make decisions on behalf of ourselves and our clients, and we want to base those on knowledge. Now, not just the knowledge of the individual companies we own or whether we're lending money to a bank here or a bank there for interest rates, but we still have to make that ultimate decision, which is how much money are we going to have at risk and how much money are we not going to have at risk or minimize risk, and then where we're going to put that risky money to work. And having knowledge and understanding what you own will really create far better investment results than the approaches that you're going to hear about from academics and most financial advisors that are in the product sales business.
And you also have to look at it this way. I mean, there's so many different levels to what our reading is needs to do for us and our research and our study. It doesn't matter if we're right. We can be right. And if you come to our office every day, we are very right in our understanding of things. But if you look at the market doesn't do what's based on what we feel is right. There are so many different levels from the individual investors to the investment gurus such as me and Kendall to the people that run the money at the top of these very, very large organizations. And each one of them has their own idea on things. And if we don't understand those ideas at each one of those levels, we're not going to have – all of our guesses will be poor guesses. It doesn't matter how educated we pretend them to be.
Your research could tell you – this is the right answer. Mm-hmm. And some great big warehouse of stock holdings up there in New York could say, uh-uh, and they could turn the whole market upside down simply by their changing direction and the numbers of shares that they're going to change
it
with.
Shifting where the money goes, that's correct.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
On a day-by-day basis. But long-term, it's corporate earnings, interest rates. Those are the things that count. And that's what you should pay attention to.
And although we do look at the past, and we try to make estimates of the future, really what all our research does, if it's doing what it needs to do, it shows us what things look like today, because investing is based on what you do today. It has nothing to do with what's happened in the past, and it's a toss-up on what the future is.
He's learning well, isn't he?
He is. I'm not needed anymore. I've added a new title to myself. Last year I introduced that old man in the corner.
Right.
But not this year. I am now an entrepreneur of leisure. And as an analyst, I have to spend a large amount of time in the leisure field to really understand that business a lot. So I'm working on it.
He still has time in the office, and a lot of that time in the office is, he still comes in and yells at me and Libby. And so.
As he should. That's right. Don't ever forget. Okay.
That's right.
So that being said, let's take a look at 2019. Wow, what a year. The market, the Dow, went up what over that year?
So the 500 was up about 29%, the Dow 22, and then the NASDAQ was up about 35%. It was the big winner there.
So that makes everybody just say, my gosh, I can just sit back and relax. I don't have to worry about a thing. I mean, it's just things on autopilot. It's just going, 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 going.
We hope they don't make that mistake.
Yeah, I hope they don't either.
But I think, you know, we go back to the trailing two-year period of time, and the market's up around 10% a year over those two-year periods, which is more in a historical norm. This year we made up for what was not there the year before, and who knows, the future will unfold the way it unfolds. Our internal work is based on whether there's absolutely no stock market. In other words, if we're buying a business today at the prices we pay today, and it doesn't buy and sell shares of paper, you know, as a private business, you know, the market is, or the average common stock's priced to earn about 5 or 6% this year. Same time, we expect to get some income for our ownership interest, and that's maybe 1 or 2%. So, you know, the market's priced to earn maybe somewhere in around 7%, excluding, you know, the whims of people, which is supply and demand. And that's what changes the market prices so dramatically, is fear and greed. People haven't changed in 100,000 years. We still want to better ourselves. We still need certain things like food and shelter and so on.
Wow.
But we surely are full of fear, greed, regret, envy. The list goes on and on. That hasn't changed.
You know, when you take a look at where the market was in 2008 when you decided to get into this, it dipped down to whatever, 6,000 or 7,000. I keep thinking if somebody had really been smart and had a whole bunch of cash and dumped it all in back then, and the market's sitting here now at 29,000 roughly, they would have done very, very well. Very, very well.
Yeah, a lot of us have.
Yeah, that's right.
You go back and pull out the archives of our programs in that time period and just look and find. We were on there and we said, we're all in. That was in mid-2009. Justin thought I was crazy. But
course,
the best
his
time
message was, open all the drawers, clean out all the closets. If there's money, this is the time. It didn't matter what you
buy.
Put it in.
And it's been that way for as long as I've been in this business. You know, if you buy when people are scared to death and prices are extremely cheap, you know, that's the time to buy. And the time to sell is when they're very expensive. And, of course, no one that I know of has ever 100% invested in common stocks anyway. There's going to be a variation. We need cash. We want some form of security. The older we get, you know, that longevity starts hitting us in the head, and we want to maintain our standard of living, so we probably are not wanting to take huge amounts of risk. But still, in order today to earn just a minimum rate of return to compensate for inflation, taxes, and spending, you know, you still need a 4 to 6% rate of return just to break even.
And that's where I think most people miss the boat. I guess we've all been brought up that it's nice to have a savings account and what have you, but the savings account in the year 2019, 2020, they're not paying anything. They're not paying nothing. Less than the rate of inflation. And yet, I just don't understand why more people don't do this things called invest your money in the market and let the market work for you. I don't get it.
Fear.
I got you.
It's always fear.
I mean, what percentage, roughly, of the people have money in the stock market? Do you know?
Well, the majority of common stocks are owned by the top 10% of net worth in the United States.
Right.
And that's been that way for as long as I can remember. You know, the average individual, if they can get beyond the fear of market volatility, you know, especially with 401ks, they can start accumulating quite a bit of money, you know, over time. But I think fear takes over. No one likes to see $1,000 turn into $800, you know, without spending anything. You know, they feel pretty bad about that.
Yeah.
And that sticks with them. You know, since 2009, the market bottom, the average individual in the United States has been a net seller of common stocks. So So we have not seen any type of increase in activity or participation over the last 10 years in one of the best bull markets we've ever had.
Back to what Kendall was talking about and what you're getting at here is, you know, we always have these rule of thumbs that we kind of like to go against because we just think the rule of thumbs, they don't take into account the changing times. But from an individual investor, from someone sitting at home and listening to this and thinking, I should be more invested than I am, everything's in my savings account, just look at it this way. You should always be on a continuum somewhere to where some portion of your savings is invested, and it's not just 100% in the bank. The biggest and hardest job of dealing with that is figuring out where on that continuum you should be, and that's based on your own circumstances and the circumstances of the environment around us and the times.
I want you, Kendall, you've knocked me over with these statistics in the past. Mm-hmm. The average American out there, and I've heard you say this, would have great difficulty coming up with $400 or $500 or something like that in an emergency. The washer broke down, I need a set of tires. What are those numbers?
It's gotten a little bit better over the last few years, but it's still well above 50%. It's at 55% of American families. You know, and so their ultimate end result is to just add on debt, which is, of course, something you have to pay back in multiples of. Mm-hmm. So it's quite substantial. The average 65-year-old, and when you take 100% of them, you know, the average net worth is... the average investment count is by, $10,000, somewhere in there?
When they retire. Right.
When they retire. So, most people haven't saved anything their entire life. And that's a struggle. And, you know, I can't sit there and fault people when they need to feed themselves and their families and pay rent. You know, a dollar is a dollar, and it needs to be spent today to protect themselves. However, for most individuals, if they can, they should stick away a little bit so they're not sitting here at myself and Mr. Kimmel's young age.
That's right.
With nothing to look forward to other than, you know, minimizing our lifestyle completely.
And we're that ability to withstand those emergencies that show up, and it seems like it's such a small figure. You're looking at people having a hard time doing that, even when they have really good family salaries. And the reason and where that's come from is just the level of debt that they felt comfortable withstanding. So they put stuff on cards, they put stuff on credit, and just to sustain that level has taken a good portion of their discretionary income. But like Dad says, these past couple of years, that's actually gotten a lot better. So as far as consumers out there have debt and stuff, they're bringing those numbers down.
But it's still an incredible percentage. I mean, 50% of America not able to come up with $400 or $500 for whatever. That's a shocking number.
Yep. Of course, the long term, we've had... you know, and it's just nice in the last year to 2 years we've started to see earnings or wages increase.
Yeah.
Of course, that hurts corporate profitability, but that's still a positive for America to have rising wages. We have more people working today than ever in the history of the United States, and that's a positive. There are more women working today than men, by the way. That's just as a new statistic that just came out, which is something, you know, when we were young was unheard of. I mean, overall, our economy has really done a remarkable job, and it will continue for a very long time because Americans do have certain freedoms. As long as those are not taken away, well, then I think we'll do perfectly well.
Well, I won't get us into a political discussion, but it is interesting what happens when you strip away regulations and you allow business to do what business can do. The net result is the stock market. And anyway, we got to take our mid-program break. Remind everybody that you are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. And, of course, if you hang out here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, you know we prepare the best subs and salads anywhere here in the Carolinas. All you got to do is come in and find out for yourself. There's a magical way we do it. It's in the white letters, and we all say it together at the count of three. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Not bad. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Hey, Manning, I hear the gyros are back at Substation 2.
That's right, Alex, and they are great. They're made to order, served hot, on warm, soft pita bread with creamy tzatziki sauce, onion, and tomato. And I can't wait to get one.
Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
This is Danny Rogers with Paul Davis Restoration. When you are faced with damage to your home, there's only one company you need to know, Paul Davis Restoration. Only one company that 4 out of 5 insurance adjusters or agents surveyed said they would use Paul Davis to work on their own homes. There is only one company you need to know. Call Paul Davis Restoration, 803-329-1140. It is better to know Paul Davis Restoration and not need us than to need Paul Davis and not know us. 329-1140.
Now available from Founders Federal Credit Union, Dividend AMP. Dividend AMP is the easiest way to fund Founders Loyalty Select, our highest yield savings account. Enroll in Dividend AMP today, and the dividends from your eligible interest-bearing accounts may qualify for Dividend AMP transfers. Log in to Founders Online to enroll today. Relax, we're helping you amp up your savings. Account restrictions apply. Federally insured by NCUA.
Don't resign your retirement plan to some rule of thumb. Your own personal retirement is unique to you and your family. Give our common sense investing approach a shot. Anderson Griggs Investments, a genuine money manager right here in Rock Hill. 324-5044 or online at andersongriggs.com.
Good Pharmacy, with a modern look and traditional standards.
This is pharmacist Kia Hicklin. All 6 of our pharmacists love serving you and your children. Ask us about alternatives for your child's medicine.
My mommy loves Good Pharmacy.
Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue, Rock Hill.
Want something for your next catering that people will really love? Then talk to Charlie Ruffalo at Substation 2.
We have giant party subs made on this beautiful Italian loaf of bread, piled high with 6 meats and cheese, and gardened with any one of our 8 delicious fresh toppings.
Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Kendall and Justin Anderson from Anderson Griggs Investments are here with us today, and we're talking about all kinds of stuff. The economy was great in 2019. The Dow was up 29%. My gosh. Whew. So what are we looking at here for 2020, oh great soothsayers of knowledge and wisdom? Are we going to be able to ride this pony another 25-plus percent?
Well, as we said earlier, you know, our research going forward, the companies themselves are set to earn about between 5 and 6%. Right. And those are historical lows, but basically that's just because of the market being as high as it is. You know, like we said, everything, any investment today is based on what you pay today. So any new investments made. And right now we're paying, and it's, you know, that market's pretty high. Justifications for the height of the market, just realize, you know, our the cell phone that me and you are using today is a lot better than the one that started when I was in high school.
Oh, yeah.
Our medicine is a lot better. All of this, the reason things are worth more today is because we're better at making them. So just the products, the services out there, it's a lot more valuable than it is today. So where are we going to go from today? If we have another 29% year, I'm going to be a little surprised. I won't be complaining. Dad, what do you think?
Well, you know, history, if we look at history, you know, markets should do okay this year. It's the unknown. It's what we don't see that could derail it. And at least from my own experience, is the amount of debt or liquidity from debt is the problem, if there is one. We have a large amount of borrowings, both at the federal government level and the corporate level. As Justin said earlier, the households are getting their act in order, reducing debt, but more than made up for in both government and corporate debt. And if there's a problem, it'll come from that area.
You know, a lot of times people worry that, you know, they don't like it when a business, you know, buys their own shares back. There's all kinds of arguments back and forth of that. Because our interest rates have been so low, there has been a lot of corporate, you know, they're borrowing money because it's cheap. But then when they look to see what they're going to use that money for, whether it's buying a new business or creating a new product line and stuff like that, one of their other options is always buying their own shares back. And if they feel that their business is worth putting that money into. So when we kind of see things, they don't like the idea that they're borrowing money to buy their own shares back, and that's like some kind of cheating in the marketplace. And that's not what's happened, but they have at cheap rates.
Let's talk about one of the big businesses in our country, which happens to be right here in South Carolina. Mm-hmm. Begins with a B and ends with a G, called Boeing. Mm-hmm. Which has been through all kinds of problems. You know, it's hard to believe that they've got 800 of those 737 Maxes just mm-hmm. on the pavement somewhere. They're not flying. They've ousted the company CEO. Some of their suppliers have been laying off. This hasn't affected Charleston, though. In fact, some of the reductions in labor there, they've kept on to work on the Dreamliner. But mm-hmm. over there in Seattle, where the other half of this operation is, mm-hmm. they're feeling the pinch and might be a good time to buy some Boeing stock.
You know, we had bought Boeing. It's been when they had the last crisis with the 787, you know, that all of a sudden that's not going to be a very good plane, and problems in Charleston and so on. And we paid somewhere in, what, $80 range. We sold it about a year and a half ago, not based on the 737 MAX. In fact, that would have been a reason to hang on to the shares because of the huge amount of orders they have and the value of that airplane. All these other things that have taken place since then has put a lid on the company. And if it gets a little cheaper, yeah, I think there's always going to be an opportunity to look at Boeing, since it's such an important U.S. company. And my prediction, at least 5 or 6 years from now, most people have had multiple rides on a 737 MAX. So it will come up, it'll come about to be, and it'll be one of the great, you know, airplanes in existence at that point in time.
I've said I want them to call me when they actually put the plane back in the air, because I want to ride on that first flight. I guarantee it'll be the safest flight.
It is going to be probably safe when they finally do get it off the ground.
You mentioned something that very few people talk about anymore, which is debt. And I want to talk about the national debt. Mm-hmm. I forgot. I don't even know where the number is now. 23, 24, 25. Yeah. Pretty soon we'll have real money, $1 trillion. Nobody can even count that high.
Yeah, well, you know, we were talking the other day with Carter, you know, Justin's son Carter, and he was counting, and he says, what's the longest? Well, there was one gentleman that counted to 1 million, yep. one by one. Took him 89 days, and he started counting when he woke up, ended when he went to bed, and it took him 89 days just to get to 1 million. Now, you think of a trillion, and
see,
we're at $22 trillion in debt.
A billion is 1,000 million.
That's correct.
Right? And a trillion is 1,000 billion.
That's right.
We couldn't count that long. You couldn't do it. Could not do it. But seriously, with the debt the way it is, how much, I mean, if somebody just decides they're going to call a few of our notes, we're going to have some real issues. Yes, no?
Well, they're non-callable, first of all.
Okay.
The companies don't have the right to call back. You know, they can quit buying. Right. You know, that could create some problems. You know, the debt has to be repaid at some point in time. You know, it has to be, even though they say, well, we can print more money. Well, sure, you can print more money, but the value of that money declines, and it'll hurt American citizens. So ultimately, there's a price for having this type of debt. You know, and it has to be replaced with something that produces enough future income to pay it back. And who knows?
The size of the numbers, it always makes us uncomfortable. But if you look at the percent of what level of debt is supportable by GDP, you look at Japan as a direct comparison, and they are running how much times? Three times what we're at now. Is that right?
That's why I will not invest in Japan. It's been a losing proposition for a very long period of time.
And they've been doing that for 20 years. But if you look, Japan has not fallen off the face of the earth. So even though it's uncomfortable to think about those big numbers and stuff.
Well, the U.S. government, still, the Treasury is probably the only market left in the world where people can get a return. And in the last 6 months or so, the foreign buyers have declined. Partially it's because of a hedge and a number of other things that come into play. And we've gone from $17 trillion of negative earning government debt, that's not in the U.S., by the way, worldwide, down to around $11 trillion now, where people are, you know, paying their governments to hold on to their money.
Well, I hope listeners can understand there's a lot of knowledge around this table, of which I am not part of that. These guys know what they're doing. It's Justin and Kendall Anderson. Anderson Griggs Investments is their business right in downtown Rock Hill. Find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. We'll see how 2020 comes up.
We hope it's positive.
Appreciate you being here.
Thanks, man.
And that'll wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2. Jerry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors, online at AndersonGriggs.com. Of course, we're here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Fresh subs and salads prepared right before your eyes 7 days a week. The magic is the white letters, and we're all going to say it together at the count of three. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
All right, have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.